world is a treacherous landscape filled with the deadliest terrain from Dakar to Baja. Guiding your way are off-road stars Jimmy and Trent Beaver. This is the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Powered by Speed Energy.
All right, glad to be here on a Monday morning. I love that epic intro music, as we call it. I'm still here, obviously. I didn't win the mega lottery, so my idea of starting the ultimate rally and off-road and short course team kind of went down the tubes because I didn't come home with the $640 million. You didn't by chance happen to win, did you, Trent, and just not telling me about it?
No, I was not the winner. I bought 10 tickets, no luck, so I'm still here on the Monday morning as well.
All right. Well, I think we've got Steve Hengeveld trying to call in, so let's see if we can pick him up. You there, Steve?
I'm here. How's it going this morning?
Pretty good. How's it going, staff?
Oh, it's actually a beautiful day today. No wind. It's about 50 degrees. Ready to do some road biking this morning.
I was going to say, it's probably some pretty good weather to either get on your mountain bike or your road bike or your motorcycle or anything up there.
Yeah, it's a really nice day, and yeah, once, you know, just start off my day, do a little training. So, good day for it.
Awesome. So, I just want to congratulate you. I know my brother's talked to you on the phone a few times. Congratulate you on your Mint 400 win. It's pretty big deal, and I think you dethroned somebody that's kind of won the past couple of years, didn't you?
Yeah, no, this was a good win for us. We dethroned the Messers. They've actually won it about three times in a row, and the last couple of years, this race for us has been a little demon for us. We've lost a couple trannies at each of the last 2 years, and this year we finally put the whole package together, got the monkey off our back, and took the win.
Awesome. I mean, what's your trophy light schedule looking like this year? Are you guys going to try and run the whole series, or you know, just hit and miss races as you go, or what's things looking like for trophy light this year?
No, as of right now, our trophy light schedule, we're going to follow the entire Best in the Desert series, which runs in all of Nevada, and that's part of the trophy light series as well, except one race. But we're going to go ahead and do that one race, and that'll be in May in Caliente, Nevada. So we're going full bore and going to try and win a couple championships this year.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about your transferring from two wheels to four. I know you're very much still active, racing motorcycles, but how's the transition been from two to four wheels? I know we had like Mikey Childress, you know, on air a few months back, and he's a friend of mine, and, you know, he was telling us a little bit about it, but what's your take? I mean, it seems like motorcycle guys usually transfer to four wheels pretty easy.
Yeah, the transfer's been pretty good. I actually did my first my first trophy truck race in the Parker 425 in 06 with Mikey Childress, and we ended up finishing third trick truck, which was pretty good. We split driving duties, and then in 08, I decided to step back from motorcycles and kind of retire per se, and I got a deal with the T-Force Toyota team. And so we did that for about a year and a half, and then that program went away. And then I kind of just started riding bikes again a lot. And, you know, it's just in my blood. That's what I've done my whole life. But that's just the way transitions go. And then now me and my brother have been doing this trophy light deal. And I think being a dirt bike rider, it really gives you an advantage over, you know, a guy that doesn't have that much, I guess, knowledge of riding a dirt bike in the desert, because you learn to look at the terrain a little bit differently, and I believe it gives you a little edge on the competition, actually, on what lines to pick and when to let off and when not to.
Well, and you know, speaking of the bikes, I mean, tell us, you know, you really are, you know, kind of a Baja legend down there. I mean, you know, and you've done a lot of things with Johnny Campbell in the past, who, you know, is legendary in his own right. I mean, you know, you've ridden for some of the best factory motorcycle teams, you know, there are. What's it like, you know, being a part of, you know, a factory backed team. You know, there's a lot of people that listen in, and you know, and they go and do their thing on the weekends, but you know, they don't do it to the scale of you are, and you know, have all the backing and support when you go and run a race like the Baja 1000.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was with Honda for almost 10 years, and I tell you what, that's a, you know, a top-notch organization. Our old team manager, his name, it was the name of Bruce Ogilvie. He was a Baja legend himself, and he really knew how to run the team. And, you know, when you're at that factory level, I mean, it's, yeah, you got all this support that you need. You have a lot of volunteers that dedicate their time to go down there to sit in the middle of nowhere to wait for you to come. And, you know, but then again, it's a job, too. I mean, it's, we're riding motorcycles is fun, but it is a job. It isn't just, oh, you do it, you know, on Saturday morning, you know, and you get on your bike and you decide to race. I mean, it's a full-time, seven-day-a-week job. You know, you got to train, you got to eat right, you got to really work hard at it. It doesn't come easy, that's for sure. But, you know, being at the factory level, I mean, it's there's a lot of pressure on you as well. I mean, I really enjoyed it, had a good time. But, you know, it is a job. A lot of people don't look at it that way from the outside. But, it's a full-time gig. You know, there's nothing like a factory support, though. I mean, the bikes are, you know, there's a guy building your race bike that he spends, you know, probably 80 hours on building, tearing the tranny apart, making sure all the gears are nice. And, I mean, just a lot of work and effort goes into, you know, one of those teams, and that's why it takes a lot of resources.
Yeah, and I mean, not only the Baja, you've kind of traveled around and done quite a few races on bikes. I mean, didn't you go to Australia and run, like, the Fink Rally?
Yeah, I've done the Fink Rally a few times. I got hooked up with Honda of Australia over there, and my good friend Michael Vroom, he owns a Honda dealership in Alice Springs. He's actually the one that brought me over and got the deal all set up. I tell you what, man, those guys – go fast. You know, their motto over there is, well, if I break this year, I got a year to heal to come back to do it. That's their biggest race of the year, and that's all they care about. And it's pretty amazing the stuff they're going over, just hanging off the back of the seats wide open. I mean, it was a big eye-opener my first year, and I went back a couple other times to try and do my best, but just don't have enough run time. They pre-run that thing all year long, and it's the same course, and you know, it's a really cool event to, you know, to get experience to actually go to a different country and, you know, see what off-road racing's like, similar to Baja, per se, in another country. And I had a good time at it.
Yeah, you've traveled down there and done that. I mean, any ideas if the right deal came along to go and do some Dakar racing? Seems like in the past couple of years it's kind of blown up here in the States.
Yeah, I think, you know, it moving to South America has really helped to get the, you know, the feel of the Americans wanting to go. I mean, I've been wanting to go to Dakar for the last probably 6 years, just haven't had the right opportunity to, you know, to be able to get myself over there, you know, with the resources and such. It costs a lot of money, and to do a, you know, you just need to pull all the right resources together. But I'm more than interested to going over there. I think I do quite well at it. I know how to read a road book. You know, when we were with Honda, we used to do a lot of training days where we would ride, you know, we'd have a little roll, you know, not nothing like they have right now, but we'd have little couple day long rallies where we'd have they'd set up us road books, and we would just go throughout California and the Nevada desert for 3 to 5 days and see where we end up. And you know, I did quite well at it, and I think I, you know, could do quite well down there. So definitely, if the opportunity came, I'd jump in with 2 feet.
Awesome. Well, how about Skor this year? It seems like you know, KTM got back involved in the desert, and you know, I know the Work Series has been huge with the factories here in the States, and you know, but what do you think? It's kind of a battle going on in Skor after the first race of the year. You've got KTM, Honda, and then I know Kawasaki with THR is you know, has been running, and it's kind of cool to have some of the factories back involved in desert racing.
Yeah, no, it's real exciting. I'm involved with the THR program, and I've been involved with the Kawasaki program since they came back to Baja back in 2009 at the 1000. And it's, you know, I think it's great. Yeah, KTM had a nice run at the 250, And the other three, there was actually four factory teams, basically the Kawasaki, the two KTM teams, and the Honda team. And shoot, out of the four factory teams, three of them, they flew their riders home because they all crashed because, you know, everybody's going so hard. And we were able to salvage a race. I mean, we ended up like fifth or sixth, but we're looking forward to the, you know, to the 500. But, yeah, I mean, the competition's great. It gives it more notoriety, and I think it's great for the fans as well.
Yeah. What are your plans this year as far as motorcycles goes? I mean, you know, are you going to plan on doing all the Baja events and maybe like some work stuff, or, you know, what are the plans?
I really am not into the work series racing. I want to stick to the full off-road. I'm just a Baja, you know, right now I'm just doing it for fun, but I mean, my heart is in Baja and I want to win some races on that green bike. I plan on doing the 500 and the 1000, and I plan on doing a couple other little races coming up here. For instance, I might be doing the Silver State race in May solo on a bike and then jump in my Trophy Light at the end of the day. We're working on that right now. And I'll do a couple little races here and there, local races in Arizona and California. My boy's really into racing, so, you know, I want to go do some racing with them. That's about it, though, not too much.
Any plans to maybe jump into a trophy truck or do some short course racing with the way short course is kind of blown up with the TV packages and stuff?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm totally into that. You know, I'm open for anything. If I could just, if I got the right opportunity, you know, let me do some tests and I'll show you how I can drive. I know I could do it. And, you know, the short course stuff looks really fun. It's almost, you know, it's just like a motocross race going back to my roots back when I was a kid. But, you know, just the right opportunity came along, you know, I'm like everyone else. If you get the right opportunity, you're willing to go for it. At this time, I just can't, you know, put together my own truck right now, you know, just with the way things are. But, you know, I'm open to anything.
How about
just like everybody?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just waiting for the Pro 4 team to come calling. You know, I just be.
I hear you. Should I ride Pro Light?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not picky.
I wanted to ask you too. This year it debuted, and it's kind of interesting. And I wondered your interest or your thoughts on the King of the Motos event they ran this year. It just looked insane. The terrain these guys were running those bikes over this year, it just absolutely blew my mind. I mean, I've you know, seen and been around the King of the Hammers for a while, but this King of the Motos deal just kind of blew my mind this year. What are your thoughts on that event?
Yeah, that was I didn't really know about it. And about 4 days before the event, I get all these phone calls. Hey, you going up to the King of the Motos? And I'm kind of like, what's that? You know, I knew King of the Hammers was coming up that next week. And so, what are you talking about? So I got some insight and checked it out. I'm going, man, that's kind of crazy. So after watching some of the videos and stuff, I was just like, wow, you know, watching Destry. I mean, I talked to him a little bit about it as well, Destry Abbott. And he's just like, that was the most insane thing I've ever done. And just watching the videos of those guys having to pick up their bikes up these cliffs, you know, riding up things that even trials bikes would have a hard time, you know. It was kind of crazy. I just kind of took him back from it a little bit and trying to go, wow, that's different, you know. I guess they had like a 20-man field, all invited riders. Maybe next year they'll have a qualification thing so they get a little bit more people in there involved. But looked pretty cool. Maybe next year, you never know.
Yeah, that's what I understand. I think they're going to try and grow it and see how they can do it. But it was like a cross between desert racing and trials, and it just was, some of these rocks were just, you know, insane.
Oh yeah, the pictures were just unbelievable. Like I said, I mean, yeah, they're racing through stuff like you're at a national hare and hound, and then all of a sudden you're going up this thing where you should be a mountain goat, you know, and even worse. I mean, that's why they put the straps on the seat and the fenders and stuff so they could lift their bikes up over their shoulders and get over to the next obstacle. I mean, it was pretty insane. I think I'd have to hit the gym real hard, though. So they have to come out looking like Sylvester Stallone or something.
Well,
I'm not pick that thing up.
Well, and it sounds like just motorcycles in general. You know, I've been a fan of, you know, I've been in, you know, my whole life I've been in, you know, four wheels and with a roll cage, but I've always been a huge fan of guys on two wheels, and it seems like it's kind of, you know, it's been huge forever in, you know, in the motorcycle industry, but it's like it's almost receiving almost like a renaissance of late. And I know, like, I was talking with Matt Martelli, and I think next year they're trying to get, like, the Mint 400 to run, like, a day earlier and have a bikes-only event and run the same 400-mile course or something like that. So it should be, you know, should be exciting. I think there's some big things to come for the motorcycle industry.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome to do the Mint 400 on bikes again. I mean, I'd be game for that as well, you know. Plus, it'd give you a bird's-eye view of what the course will be like the next day in the trucks. So,
yeah.
I mean, it'd work out for a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what, I mean, you know, obviously you're going to run the Baja events. You're going to run the full schedule of Trophy Light. I mean, anything else on the horizon we should be looking out for you at?
No, that's basically it. Actually, this summer I'm going to be doing some downhill mountain bike races with my son. We'll be heading up and doing the national series in Colorado and New Mexico. So I'll be doing that with him. But other than that, that's about it. Sticking to the couple races on dirt bikes, the full Trophy Light series, and that's about it.
Awesome. Well, you got anybody you'd want to thank before we let you go? I know you got to go and get some thing in on your Monday off, I guess.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd like to give a shout-out to Northland Motorsports. You know, they help us get to the races. I'd like to shout-out to Black Diamond Performance. They do all our suspension. Fox Racing, Elliott's Natural Remedies, and just everybody out there that gives us a hand, especially Mike Meehan at Meehan Race Prep in Hesperia, California. If it wasn't for him, you know, I mean, our truck wouldn't make it to the finish line. So thanks again for everything.
Awesome. Well, I think we're going to let you go, Steve, and hope you have a good Monday, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon.
Hey, guys, thanks for putting me on, and you guys have a great day yourself.
All right, you too, Steve.
All right, have a good one.
All right, that was Steve Hengeveld live on air, you know, talking a little bit about motorcycle racing. And I think we're going to try here, you know, in the next month or two to get some motorcycle guys on air and maybe some rally guys and some short course and a mix of desert. And, you know, the show, we're going to try and cover a little bit of everything as far as dirt goes. And I think we're going to see what we can get on air, and always looking for some unique interviews and opportunities. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. What do you think, Trent?
Oh, I definitely agree. The perspective that different racers have on things, it's always good to take everything in and see what they have to say. Different styles of game plan that goes into a motorcycle race versus a off-road race or short course race. Just awesome to get a well-rounded view of the entire off-road racing realm, I'd say. And we're definitely always interested in hearing from the different disciplines of racing. So it'll be exciting to see what the next month holds and who we can get on air.
Well, and if any of you don't realize, Steve was, you know, very let's put it, he was very humble on air. The guy's a Baja legend. I mean, the amount of Baja 1000 and Baja 500 victories he has is just amazing. He is one of the fastest guys on earth on two wheels. And have him on air is just absolutely amazing. And, you know, he is a legend in his own right. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And he's so humble on air, but the guy truly is one of the best motorcycle riders ever.
Well, and I'd also add, one of the biggest things about him is he's definitely the best night racer in the world. Know when he was on Team Honda, and even the couple of things he's done with the THR Kawasaki team, always seems like he's running the night section. Just a phenomenal take on it and how he can read the terrain at nightfall and just a dominating force when the sun goes down and things get hairy. He's always comes out on top, it seems like.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, all those Baja 1000 wins, you heard, you know, Johnny Campbell and whatnot, you know, and you always heard Johnny Campbell, but what you don't realize is Steve Hengeveld raced half the race with Johnny Campbell. It was just, you know, Johnny was the name that Honda chose to promote, and you know, Steve did half the work, and you know, just an amazing guy, an amazing racer, and I'm so glad to have him on air. It's just absolutely awesome to have such a legend like that, you know, on air with us. So, Trent, what are we giving away this week in the trivia?
Well, we were just talking about a dominating force in the bikes and whatnot, and the trivia question goes to a dominating force in off-road racing. Definitely been short of a couple more wins this week and a few weeks back, but this week we're giving a Down and Dirty Off-Road Show t-shirt away for the trivia winner, and I'm sure you can lead into that question and let the fans go at it to see who has the off-road knowledge to win this shirt.
All right. Well, I'll throw this one out here, and then we'll go to a commercial break, and I think we'll be taking callers first, and then if we don't have any callers, we're gonna go to the chat board and take winners, you know, on the chat board. So I know people immediately start piping in on the chat board. When we come back from the break, if I have callers in the queue, I'm gonna be taking those first. So don't get upset on the chat board. All right. The question here is, how many desert and short course victories combined does Rob McCachran have? Now, if you go to Race Desert Dirt News, I'm just giving you guys hints. They just put out a press release about his Pro 2 about his short course sponsors this year. It had the number in there, so you're gonna have to go to Dirt News, Race Desert, any of your off-road websites, pull it up. There is an actual number, so I'm not counting. Well, he didn't win this weekend, so that wouldn't matter. But looking for the exact number, it's in the hundreds. I'm going to give you a hint. It's in the hundreds. So how many desert and short course victories does Rob McCachran have? We're going to cut to a break, and we'll have the answer when we come back.
Blue Water Resort and Casino presents another night of live stand-up comedy starring Larry Omaha.
I was a bedwetter. Any bedwetters here?
Saturday, April 14th at the Blue Water Showroom.
See, they say bedwetters are very deep, deep sleepers, and that's true because I almost drowned.
With special guest Jimmy Burns.
I'm recovering elementary school teacher.
And your MC for the night is comedian Mike Merrill. Tickets just $15, $25 day of show. Live stand-up comedy Saturday, April 14th at Blue Water Resort and Casino, Parker, Arizona.
Have you been looking to have some custom embroidery or screen printing work done but are scared of the high price tag? Give Intensities a call. They offer custom screen printing, embroidery, design, artwork, and custom branding. With no minimums and fast turnarounds, you have no choice but to go where the pros go, and that means you're going with Intensities, the official clothing supplier of the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Visit them online at www.intensities.com. Parker Motor Company has been in business for over 95 years, so when you're looking for a new Ford or Lincoln, go somewhere who has seen it all, done it all, and has been around long enough to know how to treat customers. Whether you're looking for a new Ford Raptor, Shelby GT500, a luxurious Navigator, or something great on gas, like the 40-plus mile-per-gallon Ford Fiesta, make the right choice and give Parker Motor Company a call. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer. All right, we're back from the break, and no callers in the queue yet, and I'm just kind of looking. Let's check the chat board here. Nobody in the chat room's got an answer for us, so I'm telling you guys, it's on Race Desert and DirtNews.com. Uh-oh, here we go. We got a caller. Hey,
hello?
You're live on the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Who are we talking to?
This is Jesse.
Hey, what's happening, Jesse?
Very good.
So what kind of answer you got for us, buddy?
182 career victories.
You got the first number and the last number right. What's it's 100 and you know what? You're pretty darn close. I think it was 192. 182 is pretty darn close. I think we're gonna throw it out. It will give you a shirt anyways, Jesse.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, we you're pretty darn close. So that's just crazy. Well, thanks for coming on air, and we're going to see you out at all the races. I saw you this morning already once, but we're going to see you out at any of the races this year. Are you going to run your bike at all?
The kids are doing it more than I am now. Jeremy's doing it a lot more than I am. I think he can beat me now, so I got to retire.
So. I'm already watching my 3-year-old daughter on her bike, and I think she's faster than I am already, so I think it's time for me to hang up the motorcycle.
Yeah, do all you can.
Yeah, take it easy, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh. That was Jesse Newton. He's from Parker, Arizona. If anybody doesn't know Jesse, his dad, Mick, he raced the old Chevy Nova that was sponsored by Snorton Norton's back in the 80s. And actually, that car won its class in the Nora 1000 last year. And I think Jim Riley was racing it along with Rick Johnson, if I remember right. So pretty amazing deal. He's been around off-road forever. And on the chat board, we also have Tom McCafferty, who had the right answer, and I think we're going to shoot out a shirt to Tom too. So if Trent can get on the chat board and give Tom the email address to send his contact info to, we'll shoot Tom out a t-shirt as well. So thanks for playing trivia. We'll be back next week with another question. Little RaceDesert.com Fantasy NASCAR update. We're sponsoring the Fantasy NASCAR game this year with them. $200 to the grand prize winner, as well as a couple of Race Desert video and apparel packages. So far, we're still in the first third of the fantasy season. Mary Kay Mullins is leading. AZ Mott is in second. And Kyle, who's I'm the Spotter, he's in third. 35 points are separating first through third. So it sounds like Mary Kay is finally pulling away a little bit in the fantasy NASCAR. It's been a fun season so far. There's a whole thread dedicated to it on Race Desert, and it's been a fun little tie-in that we've been doing with the show. So we'll keep bringing updates. I think there's about 40 of us in the fantasy NASCAR field, so we'll keep bringing updates for everybody in the game every week live on air. Trent is actually in 15th place, and I'm in 31st. So Trent keeps moving on up, and I'm kind of stale back there. I'm just kind of hovering around at right around 30th. I don't know. Trent's lucky number 15, right, Trent?
Yes, I am. I think may need you to shift out a second gear. I'm not sure, but I know I've found that extra gear and continuing to climb the ladder. And by the time the final couple races come around, I should be up toward the top making noise. So I'm excited to see how it unfolds and excited to continuing to claw my way back from where I was at after the first week. So
I don't know. I think they have a chase for the cup in fantasy, just like they do in real NASCAR. And I think what top 12 make it or something like that. So I've got quite a bit of climbing to do being back here in 31st place. So we'll see what happens. Next up, we've got our Speed Energy Robbie report. Kind of some interesting Robbie news. Actually, a lot of Robbie news this week, considering he didn't race at all. So I don't know. We've got all kinds of Speed Energy news. There was a pretty fun April Fool's joke on Race Desert yesterday about Geyser Brothers and Robbie Gordon Motorsports merging. Supposedly they were keeping both of their crews and they were merging under one roof in Phoenix at the Geyser Brothers shop, and Robbie was going to help them design a new mid-engine truck, and they were going to use Robbie's shock technology and Geyser's chassis design and whatnot. And, you know, obviously it's an April Fool's joke, but it kind of gets you wondering, and it kind of is a fun concept if they ever did have a meeting of the minds and actually designed a vehicle together, which, you know what, in the big scheme of things, being that Robbie's run a Truggy, the first two Best in the Desert races this year, and actually won in it overall both events, I don't know, that April Fool's joke may not be far off. I honestly don't ever see it happening. I would see Robbie taking a roller from the Geysers and modifying it to his own needs. But a neat concept, and obviously an April Fool's joke, but very cool anyways. What do you think about that, Trent?
Oh, I think it'd be awesome to see. It definitely gets your wheels turning. He's been in this Geyser Truggy for two races and taking two first overalls in phenomenal fashion. It'd be interesting to see if they did team up, what he would change out of their design or what he likes and doesn't like. It'd be really nice to get a full breakdown of his thoughts on the truck and all that stuff. I'm sure he'd always be interested in more horsepower, but it seems that the combination he's got right now is top notch right now with shooting 1,000 for the year in Best in the Desert. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's an awesome, awesome combination and definitely a winning combination. So it'll be exciting to see what unfolds with four races to go.
Yep, absolutely. You know, other Speed Energy news, Speed Energy is actually getting pretty involved in the action sports as of late, sponsored Board Stock, which is on the East Coast. It's a big big half-pipe competition for skateboarders. Whole Speed Energy crew was there, had some Speed Energy girls on hand and handed out speed, and they sponsored the whole event. Pretty cool that they're kind of getting involved in the action sports also. Robbie's actually, they're doing Speed Energy Spring Break in Lake Havasu right now. So I think he's been up there with a Speed Energy boat and a full tractor trailer and, you know, giving away Speed merchandise and doing some promoting to the Spring Break crowd. And I know for a fact here in town they've actually got some 16-ounce cans of Speed Energy showing up in stores. Nice upgrade from the 12-ounce cans. I'm drinking a 16-ounce can of the Orange Speed right now. So, other than that, I know that Robbie's running a couple of pretty cool promotions in the Vegas area, right, Trent? You were telling me about giving away some free swag. So what do you have on that?
Yeah, Speed Energy has teamed up, and they're giving away a Traxxas RC car truck giveaway. Way to win the truck or get entered for your chance to win would be visit any Terrible Herps or Rebel convenience store in Nevada. Pick up the Robbie Gordon Traxxas truck entry card at any of those locations. And with every purchase of a Speed Energy drink, you get that stamped. When you get 7 stamps on there, you fill out the contact information on the backside of that Traxxas truck entry card and mail it off to the Speed Energy headquarters in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that puts you in for the chance to win the drawing. Not sure when the drawing is done, but I think it's probably here at the end of the month or something like that. So there's still time to pick up your 7 Speed Energy drinks and get that card stamped 7 times for your chance to win the Traxxas Speed Energy RC car truck. Another thing Speed Energy has going is if you purchase 7 of those cans, you're almost there. But the pull tabs that are known on any soda pop can, energy drink can, anything like that. Well, Speed Energy, if you save your pull tabs, 25 of those Speed Energy pull tabs, you can save all of those, mail them up in an envelope, send them off to Speed Energy. For 25 pull tabs, you can get a Speed Energy hat with the S logo in orange, pink, or yellow. And for 30 of the Speed Energy pull tabs, you can get the Speed Energy S outline T-shirt. And then for 50 of those pull tabs, they have the Speed Energy hoodie. And with the choice on that hoodie, you can get either the trophy truck, the Hummer, or the Cup Car logo on it. Only requirements for this Speed Energy pool tab giveaway is collecting all the pool tabs, providing either $5, $7, or $10 shipping and handling when you mail in the tabs so that you can have your item, the hat, the T-shirt, or hoodie sent back to you, providing your return address and the size of the hat or hoodie or T-shirt that you want. So pretty cool options available for the speed drinkers out there. I know I'm one, and I'm going to have to start collecting my tabs so that I can get some free Speed Energy swag.
Yeah, and if anybody didn't realize by now, the show is sponsored by Speed Energy, so you're going to hear some Speed Energy plugs from time to time. So if you're not drinking Speed Energy, hopefully you are pretty soon. Great stuff, 4 different flavors, and I think we're going to get on to a little World Rally Championship coverage now. I'm a rally junkie, Trent's a rally junkie, so we're going to cover some World Rally Championship this year, and also a lot of the U.S. Rallycross Series, Rally America, you know, whatnot. You know, that really the Rally America Series hasn't really got into full swing yet, neither is the Rallycross. It's more this summer they run that, but World Rally Championship is in full swing. We've got 4 events down so far. This latest one was this past weekend, World Rally Championship in Portugal. You know, this course is actually, it's all gravel. It's got some really, really fast high-speed sections and some short technical, kind of almost like mountainy type sections, really tight corners. The gravel here, though, is different than most gravel rallies. It's really sharp, rough gravel. It actually, what the teams are saying is causes 40% more tire wear at the Rally Portugal than it does other gravel rallies. So I guess this thing just eats tires up left and right. I guess these guys are running a lot harder compound than they normally do just to help with the tire wear. They'd run those really super soft compound tires, and it just eat them up. So, you know, it makes for a little bit different of a rally. Coming across with the win was Osberg. Second is Novikov. Third, Peter Solberg. Fourth, Nasser Al-Attiyah. And fifth was Prokop. Nasser Al-Attiyah, pretty interesting. You know, he was a guy that ran with Robbie at Dakar, and you know, I don't know what went on there. He kind of a spoiled crybaby. We're just calling it like it is. You know, thought he didn't have a chance at the win, so he just walked out on running the truck. And you know, I don't know. There's a whole other story there in its own right. You know, but he did run Dakar with Robbie in the second Hummer truck. Took fourth at Rally Portugal. I think he was in the top 10 at World Rally Mexico. Obviously, the guy's got some driving skill. I think he's just kind of a little bit of a arrogant prima donna, to be honest with you. The interesting news to note here was Sebastian Loeb crashed out on the third stage. He's been dominating World Rally Championship so far. Crashed out on the third stage. What that did was he had a huge points lead. You know, he took no points for the event and knocked the door wide open for a bunch of guys to step in and make a run at him. Pretty interesting. Now the standings shape up as Sebastian Loeb is still leading with 66 points. Peter Solberg is now in second with 62. He made up 15 points on Loeb this event because of the crash. Osberg in third with 53. Mikko Hirvonen in fourth with 50. And Novikov is in fifth with 39. Big news over the weekend was Ford... Ford took 13 out of 19 stages. So 13 stage wins for Ford out of a combined 19 stages. Solberg came away with 8 wins. He was a big stage winner. Obviously, the 13 out of 19 stages is a little bit, you know, it's a little bit gray area because I'm sure Sebastian Loeb and his Citroen would have taken a few stage wins, but needless to say, Ford is looking pretty dominant this year in World Rally. And you know, if you guys don't watch World Rally, some of the best drivers in the world, absolutely amazing drivers, and very cool stuff to watch. So we'll be covering it live on air throughout the whole year. So definitely worth looking into if you're a motorsports fan. Next up, we've got a little bit of Lucas Oil off-road coverage. Their season kickoff event was Firebird Raceway this weekend in Phoenix, and I didn't have a chance to get out there. Very disappointed I didn't get a chance to get out there. I had prior engagements, but needless to say, huge field of cars. Some of the big news, Rob McCracken, who obviously was a subject of our off-road trivia earlier, he debuted a brand-new Pro 2. He developed it. Since it's supposed to be lighter and lower to the ground than his previous Pro 2 or any others in the field. Brand new vehicle. I think he's been running the same truck for quite a while, so it was probably time for a new one. Obviously, he's sponsored by Rockstar in both the desert and in short course. He's brought in Makita as an associate sponsor this year, running the Rockstar Makita truck. And I know Todd LaDuke is also running a Rockstar Makita truck. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Rockstar and Makita, do you know, Trent? I think they have a Supercross team, too. So I don't know what kind of association Rockstar and Makita have, but it seems like most of their racing teams actually run both sponsors. So do you know for sure, Trent? But I think Rockstar and Makita are the same, have a Supercross team.
Yeah, pretty sure you're correct. I know they've got some sort of... togetherness, I'll call it, for Rockstar and Makita. Their Supercross team is typically, I think, Rockstar, Makita, and Suzuki. So Definitely a huge combination to have both those backings for Rob. And I think you're right on the money. I don't have any further information on it. But in Supercross, there definitely is a Rockstar Makita Suzuki team, I believe, or not quite sure how it goes. But, yes, there's definitely mutual backing between the companies.
Yeah, and we're getting a lot of feedback on the chat board right now. But, yeah, I know Ryan Villopoto clinched the championship Saturday, and he's just on another level. I don't know if there's interest in it. I think we could start doing a little bit of Supercross and Motocross coverage. I can't promise you we'll be able to cover every event, but I think we might be able to do that. You guys give us some feedback on the chat board and let us know what you think, but I think we could expand our horizons and do a little bit of Supercross and Motocross coverage. What do you think, Trent?
Yeah, I think we could. Definitely always interest on the chat board. A lot of motorcycle guys on there always, and definitely good. If listeners are wanting to hear that, I'm sure we can provide the information.
Sounds good. So give us some feedback. We'll start doing some motocross and supercross coverage, and maybe get some more bike guys on air, which I would love to do. Okay, Lucas Oil coverage. Another news and notes before we get into the results. Andrea Pathiakis, a good friend of the show, awesome up and coming short course racer. She's also, if you didn't know, she's a model on the side, but she's got a. I just actually talked to her this morning. She's got a new deal with MAV TV. She runs their regional series. But I think her MAV TV deal, she'll be making appearances at all the Lucas Oil short course races this year. She'll be there, and I think she may actually have a TV gig as well. So we'll have to keep track on her. But very good news for Andrea Pathiakis. Maybe we'll see her step up from the regionals to the big show next year. With all this publicity she's getting. So anything we can do for you, Andrea, just let us know and. We'll see what we can do. Hopefully we can help you out if we can. As far as results go, obviously this was a huge attendance. I think it had record-breaking numbers for the Pro Light field. Qualifying results for the opening round, Pro 4, Kyle LeDuc qualified on the pole. Carl Rennesetter second, Todd LeDuc, and then Kurt LeDuc, and then Greg Adler. There was a total of 12 guys in Pro 4. Corey Weller qualified 10th, another friend of the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. The kind of cool news is Carl's just been dominating forever. I guess he's been racing with a broken ankle this year or testing, and he had a broken ankle this event. From what I understand, though, Kyle was so fast in qualifying. Carl actually pulled over at one point and then started following Kyle so he could get Kyle's lines and learn the lines that Kyle was using that made him so fast. I think looking at the times, I think Kyle was actually like a full second faster than anybody else in Pro 4 in qualifying, which is absolutely just amazing. Pro 2 qualifiers, Carl Rennesetter got the pole in Pro 2, Marty Hart second, Greg Adler third. Rob McCracken was down in fifth, and Rodrigo Ampudia was sixth. Everybody calls him Rod Amp. Pro Light, they actually had two groups in Pro Light because there was so darn many people. Bradley Morris qualified on the pole. Second group, Austin Kimbrell was on the pole. I could go down through everything. Pro Buggy, Cameron Steele, qualified second. I'm just going through the qualifiers because when I get here to the results in a second, it's going to make a whole lot of sense. Results, that was qualifying for round one. Results for round one, Pro 2, Carl Rennesetter, qualified on the pole, came across with the win. Greg Adler second, Rob McCracken third, Brian Deegan fourth, and Jeff Geiser fifth. Robbie Pierce coming across to do some short course racing, finished in eighth place, 17 total entries. Looks like, I didn't even notice this, but Robbie Gordon, 13th. I didn't even know that Robbie was racing down there. That tells you how much I know. I didn't even realize in the Robbie report Robbie's racing in Pro 2. I talked to him about a week ago, and he didn't even mention it. So tells you how much I know. I'm not quite the expert everybody thinks I am. Anyways, Pro 4, Kyle LeDuc came across with a win. It was like an epic battle in Pro 4. Kyle obviously qualified on the pole, came across in first place. But I think between Kyle LeDuc, Carl Rennesetter, and Todd LeDuc, they had quite the battle going on. You know what? And I'm looking at these results. And I hate to say it, but the results that I pulled off, they must have messed up on their thing. I know some of the results are right, but I'm going to have to notify this website. You know, I don't even know that Robbie Gordon raced, because in here with the – it shows Lohr's round one results, 2012. But it's got Robbie Gordon as well as Rick Huseman racing, which is obviously wrong. I'm going to have to contact them, because they've got some misprints going on here with the Lucas Oil site. So definitely, you know, I know some of those were winners, some weren't, but I don't know what's going on there. It's sorry about that, guys. Pro Light, yeah, I don't even know that. I know this isn't right with the Pro Light round one results. I'm gonna have to toss these. I must have had a problem when I pulled the results off. We're just gonna skip over to round two. I'm sorry about that. I do know Kyle LeDuc came across with the win though. Round two results. Pro Four, Kyle LeDuc came across with the win. I know that was a fact. I think he swept Pro Four both days. I'm going to see if we can get Kyle on next week. I'll make a call to Kyle. I know Kyle, and we'll see if we can get him on the show next week. I think that would be pretty cool, don't you think, Trent?
Yeah, definitely. Pretty cool. Like we've talked about, he has a new sponsorships, and I'm sure he made him happy this last weekend in dominating fashion, basically.
Yeah, we'll see if he can't do it this next week, sometime in the next month. I can't guarantee you we'll get him on air, but we'll try. I know Kyle, so he'll probably come on air for us, and should be cool. I think they've got a new trophy truck in the works, too, out of the LeDuc shop, so should be pretty exciting. Pro 2, this could go in the Speed Energy report, but Greg Adler came across with the win. I don't know if that was Greg's first win, but I know he was very excited over the win. Greg owns 4-Wheel Parts. He's also sponsored by Speed Energy, and I know he's a good friend of Robbie's. But Greg Adler coming across with a win in Pro 2, so congrats, Greg. Congrats and Kyle on sweeping the Pro 4 field this weekend. Pro Light, RJ Anderson coming across with a win. He's running out of the Walker Evans stable, and I don't know how much of a stable it is anymore. I don't, you know, but I know they've got a few vehicles being prepped out of there, but R.J. Anderson coming across with a win. Pro Buggy, Jerry Welchel coming across with a win. Limited Buggy, Bradley Morris. Super Light, Sheldon Creed. Super Light, a little bit different animal this year, only because a lot of the guys that were dominant in Super Light last year have moved up into Pro Light. So, you know, it should be interesting to see who emerges out of Super Light this year as maybe a future future champion. Pretty exciting. I know Corey Weller stepped back into her SR1 a little bit this weekend. She ran that as well as Pro 4. The big news is I think, you know, Pro Light has gone to, I think you have your choice of running the four cylinders like they did in the past, or you can run one of the crate V8s. And I think they got off a lot of flack when they decided to go with the crate V8s as an option. I personally think it was a good idea. I know what the cost of those four cylinders those guys are running is, and it's absolutely ridiculous. You can get the same horsepower out of a crate V8 for fractions of the cost. But the Pro Light field, absolutely amazing. I think it's the biggest Pro Light field in history. Just huge for that class. And, you know, I was looking at qualifying times. And very interesting, but the Pro Lights are running almost times on par with the Pro 2s now, which, you know, obviously they're, you know, they don't have the horsepower, but they're so much lighter. Their times are actually very close to the Pro 2 times, you know, and obviously Pro 4, you know, they've got everybody beat. They were like a second half faster. I'm talking the top qualifiers, you know, Pro 4 was than Pro 2, but Pro Lights are coming on strong and, getting very close to the Pro 2 times. I think it was great they went to the V8s and as an option. And, you know, it's to the point where I never thought of a short course program for us just because mainly the engine cost to get involved in short course. You know, it's you know, it's been crazy in the past, the amount of money these guys have and stuff like that wrapped into the motor programs. You know, it's not necessarily the body work and stuff like that. It's just the motors having to replace them. I mean, these things are like ticking time bombs to the horsepower and, you know, and the displacement these guys are running. But, you know, with this option for ProLite, I know I looked into it. The Ford V8 for a ProLite, it's right around 400 horsepower. It's actually a sealed crate motor that they use in one of the stock car series back east. But it only runs about $8,000. That's a brand new sealed crate motor from Ford Racing. You know, and you can take that and drop it in your thing. And, you know, the thing is probably good for, I would say, an entire season. I wouldn't run one an entire season. I'd probably run half the season and replace it. But the cost of going through it's only got to be a few thousand dollars. And in the big scheme of things, it's not a lot. You know, I think it's done wonders for the Pro Light class. I'm excited to see where it goes. And like I said, now with this new motor option, I think it's, you know, it's going to be interesting. And who knows, maybe the next year or two, maybe you'll see me and Trent in a couple of Pro Lights and not in the desert anymore. I don't know. What do you think about that idea, Trent?
Oh, I'd be interested to take our turn at short course racing. I know Superlight's got that offer. We've both been contemplating running later this year and getting our feet wet, and it should be interesting to see how things go.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I think we're going to give the Superlight program a whirl. If any of you didn't know, I mean, you can run a Superlight, a ride-and-drive program at Glen Helen or Lake Elsinore, $2,500, show up with your helmet and your driver's suit and go race. And pretty cool deal, and I think Trent and I may both, maybe later this year, give it a whirl and try our hand at short course. And who knows, maybe next year you'll see us in a couple of Pro Lights. And I don't know, weirder things have happened, let's just say that. So I don't know, getting on with the show, I think we're going to wrap up the Lucas Oil coverage. I don't know when it's going to air quite yet on TV, but we do have some questions on the chat board. Mandatory pit stops. I do know about the mandatory pit stops. I know a little bit. I don't know a lot of it. Something new this year. Halfway through, I think they're gonna force a mandatory pit stop. Everybody has to come in. And I can't remember what the time is, if it's 30 seconds or what, but I honestly, I'm sorry. I should have looked into more of it, but it is going to be all year long. It's mandatory pit stop halfway through the race. They're going to force everybody to go into the pits. I think it may just be a 30-second pit, like stop and go. I don't know the reasoning behind it. I will find out before next episode. But it should make for better TV, because it's going to bunch everybody up. After the start, usually there's somebody halfway through the race just running away with it. I think it's just meant to cause better TV and bunch everybody back up is my personal thinking on things. But it's all about the TV package for short course, so they're going to do whatever it takes to make better TV. It doesn't look good on TV when somebody's running away with the race by half a lap. As far as that goes, I think we're going to step up now to some Gazelis Rally results. If any of you didn't know, we talked a little bit about it last week, but there's been a couple Americans racing in it. It's a rally in Morocco, and it's a unique rally in that it's a female-only event. Driver and co-rider both have to be female. There's no GPS. There's no phones, no tracking of any kind, and the only thing that the women can use is a map and a compass to navigate the course. Very interesting concept. It's really grown up, blown up in recent years. I know that Emmy Hall, one of our friends of the Down and Dirty Show, she was on a while back, and her friend Michelle were going to race it this year. Michelle had some health issues, and so they push their event back till next year. But they are going to do the rally. That'll be another American team over there. Coming away with a win this year was an Olympic medalist and last year's winners, the team of Montelet and Verdager. They came away with first overall. Pretty much, I think, dominated from wire to wire, from what I understand. Closest American entry to winning was the team of Lerner Reyna. They were running in the top three overall there for a while. I think going into the last stage, they were 10th overall, and from what I understand, there came a point in the course where it was a very, very brutal dune section, an absolutely brutal dune section. And there was actually some, quite a few teams in the top 10 that didn't want to navigate the dunes, so they took a route around the dunes and bypassed them. What it did was it was a smoother course, and you know, and didn't have the risk of damaging their equipment, but it added mileage onto the course. Well, the team of Lerner Arena, they kind of ballsed up. I guess it's a female race. I shouldn't use that. Shouldn't say that, but anyways, they had the guts to try and to go through the dunes, and they did, had no problems, jumped two spots in the overall rankings and made a ton of time on the leaders. So props goes out to Lerner Arena, eighth overall, definitely running top three overall for a long time. They had issues during the race, but I think they could be a force next year, so I'm hoping to see them back. The only other American team that ran in the event was the team of Croft and Meadows. They had mechanical issues most of the entire rally. They finished in 82nd overall. So definitely a very cool event. I'm looking forward to next year's. It's kind of like a miniature version of the Dakar. It's still brutal, though. It's in the most remote parts of Morocco. And like I said, no GPS, no sat phones, no cell phones, no coverage at all. You know, it's just two women, a map, a compass, and a race vehicle. So a very, very cool and unique event. Definitely looking forward to more of that in years to come. And I'm sure as next year's event approaches, we'll get Emmy back on air and see what she has to say about it. Some other news coming out this week, JimKahana.com. I'm sure everybody's familiar with what Jim Kahana is, all the Ken Block videos that have gone viral on YouTube and whatnot. Well, Mad Media and RaceDesert.com. I think the site's owned by Mad Media. Klaus from Race Desert runs the forum. They have launched JimKahana.com. Basically, what this is your destination for rally racing, kind of like the Race Desert of rally. They're going to cover Formula Drift, rally, some unique, I think, pavement type events. But very cool site. They've got a whole forum. It just launched this past week, so not many people on the forum or not. But I'm sure in the next year or two, you're going to see that site blow up. So definitely worth checking out. They've got some really exclusive, unique interviews so far. And just some cool info on the site, so check it out, and something to put in your favorites and check back from time to time. As I'm sure as they pick up steam, they'll get more and more stuff up and going. Other news and notes, Skoal released their point standings, post San Felipe 250 point standings. We're going to run through the point standings a little bit and check things out. So far, updated standings for four-wheel vehicles. Rob McCachran, he's first in points in trophy truck. Juan Lopez, he's in the Speed Energy truck. He's in second. Steven Strobel, third. B.J. Baldwin, fourth. Tim Herps, fifth. Scott Whipple, sixth. Ryan Arciero, seventh. Cameron Steele, eighth. Ken Loesch, ninth. And then Gary Weyrich, followed by Mark Weyrich in 10th and 11th. Class 1, you've got Cody Parkhouse, then Damon Jeffries, Ronnie Wilson, Monica Greenhill, and then Clyde Stacey and Brian Parkhouse tied for 5th. 1-2-1600, you've got Cody Robinson leading, followed by Robert Archibald. Class 2, Clyde Stacey. Class 3, old Donald Moss. He's dominating in the same fashion he does every year. Nobody doesn't seem like anybody can catch him. Billy Bunch is giving it a go this year, it looks like, but Donald Moss kind of running away with things. Class 4, Derek Fletcher. Class 5, Kevin Carr. 5-1600 is Clyde Stacey. Eduardo Laguna, first in Class 6. Class 7 is Brandon Walsh. 7-2, Billy Wilson. 7SX, Elias Hanna is leading. Class 8, Rodolfo Uribe. Class 10, Matt Cullen. Stock Mini, Andy Bell. Stock Full, Wes Beverly III. Sportsman Buggy, Jim Bunn. And Sportsman Truck, Nick Tinelli. Sportsman UTV, first race of their series was at San Felipe 250. They didn't race the UTVs at Laughlin, which I think would actually be a pretty cool course. But Thomas Graves came away with the win in San Felipe and consequently is leading the Sportsman points. What do you think about running UTVs at Laughlin, Trent? I think that'd be fun.
I'd love to see someone hammer down off the Laughlin Leap on that, but definitely an exciting course all the way around. I think could really see what some of the potential of the UTVs are, and I'm sure here in a couple weeks when we have Joey D on air from UTV Underground, we'll get into that a little further, and he'll be able to give us the real story and scoop on what he thinks the potential for side-by-sides are and what races would be ideal for him. So I'd always be interested in seeing him race at Laughlin or any class for that matter, just because Laughlin's such a fun but rough course. So
yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool. You may actually get some of the short course UTVs show up and do battle with the desert ones, and I think Sal ought to make that happen. You know, on the flip side of the coin, I think they ought to run the motorcycles at Laughlin. I don't see why they don't. You know, the entries were kind of slim this year, and there's obviously time there. You know, they're not on the course at the same time, man. I think seeing the unlimited motorcycles run Laughlin would be awesome. I think Sal ought to try and make that happen. That would be very cool to see the motorcycles and ATVs run at Laughlin. So if you're listening, Sal, make it happen, buddy. Anyways, motorcycles leading score point standings. Kurt Caselli is leading class 22. He's part of that factory-backed KTM team, and I'm very excited this year over the motorcycles. I know this has kind of turned into a motorcycle show, but there's some – just watch Dust of Glory and tell me those guys aren't studs. I mean, it's just amazing. Kurt Caselli leading in class 22 on that KTM, and, you know, they've got the factory-backed Honda team, the Kawasaki team. It's just very cool to have all the factories back in the desert. Class 21, Francisco Septian. Class 20, Chad Broughton. Class 30, Mike Johnson. Class 40, Jeff Kaplan. Class 50, Mark Prince. Class 60, Donald Lewis. Class 24, Rafael Torres. 25, Josh Frederick. Class 26, Joe Rice. Sportsman Moto, Mark Winkleman in the other Sportsman Moto class, Adam McCamish. And then Sportsman ATV is Juan Dominguez. So that's your score leaders so far. You know, next race for them is Baja 500, and Baja always has some huge entries, so should be exciting to watch what happens down there in Baja. And I'm hoping for a little more entries than San Felipe had, and I think they'll bring them in at Baja, especially at the 500. Such an awesome race and great atmosphere, and we'll be keeping track. Next up, we got a little bit of product spotlight. This one's a little different, and I actually been talking with a company, and it's a different type of concept. There's a company called TK Design Wraps. Their Twitter handle is at TK Wraps. They're also on Facebook. Just punch in TK Design Wraps, and it'll pull up. What's cool and unique about these is I've actually got my helmet sent into them, and my brother and co-writer Bryant have theirs sent in too. You know, if anybody's had a helmet painted before, you know, it's a costly procedure, you know, in one rock or chip or whatever, and the paint job shot. But, you know, you're looking minimum to have a helmet painted $500, and I've seen helmets go as far as $2,000, $3,000 to be painted, depending on how much chrome and metal flake and whatnot you want in. But TK Design Wraps got a unique concept, and actually I think Kyle LaDuke, Kyle Lucas, a lot of the short course guys are going to them. Obviously my trophy truck helmet, I'm sending in to them. I think they're picking up steam. Got a lot of motocross guys doing it. What it is you guys have all seen the vinyl wraps done on race vehicles and vinyl wraps on semis and whatnot. Well, what they're doing is they can custom design a vinyl wrap, anything you want, basically. You can have anything put on your helmet you want, and what they do is they just print it out on this big sticker sheet. You know, it's a big vinyl decal, and they lay it over your helmet, and then when they're done laying it over your helmet, they take a clear coat and spray it over your helmet and clear coat it, so it does have that protection. The cool thing about it is you know, with paint, you can't do the cool sponsor logos and stuff like that. I mean, you can, but it costs so much money to have sponsor logos painted on your helmet and do all that. You know, the possibilities are endless with these wraps done on your helmet. You know, you can do any sponsor logo, any design, any colors, anything you want, any lines, any overlap. It doesn't matter. It's just all a matter of pushing a button on a computer. So you can change it technically year to year and just have them pull the clear coat off, pull the wrap off, and lay a new one on your new helmet. The cool thing about these, though, is from what Tyler at TK Design Wraps told me is that they run $300 for the wrap, and that includes the clear coat and everything. Now, if you want all the metal flake and the chrome and stuff like that, you're looking at having around $500 invested in your helmet. But really, in the big scheme of things, a base helmet, I'm talking just changing a base coat on your helmet, you know, usually runs about $400 or $500. So it's really an awesome deal. I'm excited to get my helmet back. It's just getting sent out, so it's going to be a while. But I think this paint scheme is going to be Stars and Stripes, match my trophy truck, have the Star 15, Speed Energy logos, Ford logos. Should be really cool. Excited to get it back. I'll definitely post pictures up on Twitter and Facebook and the website when we get them back. But TK Design Wraps, that's our product spotlight for today. At TK Wraps is our Twitter handle, or punch in TK Design Wraps into Facebook. It'll pull up all kinds of cool pictures. You know, like I said, Kyle LeDuc, Kyle Lucas, myself, a lot of motocross guys are starting to use them. It's very much a whole lot more cost-effective than going the paint route. So definitely check them out. A very cool product, an interesting concept, and the first company I know of that's actually doing it. So check them out. And I think we've got another product spotlight. It's not really a product spotlight. I think we're going to do a full-blown product spotlight on it in the upcoming weeks. But there was a new product announced, and Trent's got a little bit on that. So what do you got for us, Trent?
Yeah, yeah. Came across this new product, thought it was pretty awesome, something I think the listeners would like to see and hear about. And so I just wanted to touch on it today, and we'll get to a full-blown product spotlight here in the next couple of weeks. But Radflow shocks, traditionally known for their shocks, whether it's bypass, coilovers, air bumps, etc., now has a jack out, and it's called the Radflow Hydra Jack. It looks identical to a high lift style jack, but it comes with a traditional floor jack style arm pump handle. It only weighs 13 pounds versus 35 to 40 pounds for a traditional high lift jack. And it's fully rebuildable using the Radflow shock seals and oil. So I just thought it was pretty awesome to see, and I'm looking forward to seeing one in person and doing a full-blown product spotlight here in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, it's Radflow Hydra Jack, and they've got lots of information on their website already.
Yeah, it does sound like a really cool concept. I think I don't know if we'll carry it on the racetrack or not yet, just because I haven't seen one in person. But I think we ought to order one at least for the pits, and then maybe, you know, run them on the race vehicle. So I think I'll get in contact with Radflow and see if we can get one coming this way. And we'll definitely do a full product spotlight and review on it when the time comes. Other big news. This is kind of cool. Bryce Menzies. It was a Red Bull promotion, and they actually got the Cy Young winner and two-time Cy Young winner and pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, the super freak, Tim Lincecum. He actually came out to Phoenix, and this was before the Lucas Oil race, but Bryce had his trophy truck out there in Phoenix, and Tim Lincecum was out there, you know, doing spring training, and they got him to, as a Red Bull promotion, take a ride with Bryce Menzies in the trophy truck, and then flipped around, and Tim got to actually drive the trophy truck, and Bryce got to co-ride with Tim. And the videos are on YouTube, on Red Bull's site, they're on Race Desert, they're on Dirt News, they're everywhere. You know, Red Bull shotgun this deal out to, you know, nationwide to draw some publicity to themselves on mainstream media like, you know, ESPN and whatnot. And they all covered it, and which was huge for Bryce Menzies and off-road and, you know, and a smart deal on Red Bull's part. But if you haven't seen the video, check it out. When Tim took a whirl in the trophy truck, it was kind of interesting. You could tell he was pretty nervous. He did get it airborne a few times. Definitely not slide it around the corners like Bryce was and completely getting airborne. But You actually didn't do too bad. I guess they're going to have a follow-up sometime, and they're going to get Tim out, and they're going to get Tim out and out in the desert, and let him take a ride with Bryce at 130 through the whoops, and then maybe give Tim a chance. So I don't know how all this off-road racing is figuring into this $20 million paycheck that Mr. Linsicum's getting from the San Francisco Giants, but I'm sure there's going to be a void in there somewhere for off-road racing. I know how some of these major league contracts work. So I don't know. Did you check the video out, Trent? What'd you think?
Yeah, I checked the video out. Definitely awesome. Great exposure for off-road racing. I know it was on MSN and Yahoo's homepages for a full day, it seemed like. Video, I'm pretty sure, has already reached hundreds of thousands of hits. Two all-stars in both their own sports. I mean, Tim Lincecum, or the Freak, just a dominating pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. I think he's got a Cy Young Award, World Series Championship. Bryce Menzies, we've talked about him before on the show, driver of the year last year, and just a dominating the sport right now for off-road and short course. So awesome combination to see them together. Tim did a pretty nice job behind the wheel. I think he was excited, and it was awesome to see him with a full driving uniform, Red Bulled out with his number 55 on the back, and be exciting to see what they can come back for, and we'll call it chapter two out in the desert for this combination.
Yeah, absolutely. The super freak in the desert. You know, Tim's a little crazy. I just I'm a big, huge baseball nut, and especially a fantasy sports nut. And I'm actually done some fantasy sports radio shows, so I'm just kind of, you know, I'm kind of nerding out here. You know, I'm geeking out, as they would say. Just you know, the idea of you know, one of my favorite athletes, and then, you know, in off road and stuff like that. And it's just you know, very cool. So definitely, hopefully they do a follow up to it. Other news, we actually had some people on the chat board asking about our coverage of Torque. We're definitely covering Torque. I doubt we'll do any live events this year unless somebody comes in paying us some big money, but just because most of them are back east. But we are definitely going to cover it on the radio show. Some big Torque news this week. Kind of interesting the way Torque's doing things. They're kind of like how Score and Best of the Desert have been doing things. And, you know, obviously them and the Lucas Oil Off-Road Series are rivals. They conveniently make announcements, PR announcements, when the other one is having an event going on. It's very unique, you know, and I know Best of the Desert and Score have done that for years. And, you know, I like Sal and, you know, and I like Casey Folks both, but, you know, they always have their pre-entry draw on the same date as one of the others race or something like that, you know, and it's just funny. So, you know, Lucas Oil obviously had their kickoff event this week. Torque decides they're going to make their big announcement. So they made the announcement. Speed is going to carry their series. The entire series is going to be covered on the Speed Channel. Very cool. The big news is, though, and I think this somebody may have to correct me, but I think this may be the first time one of these off-road events is actually covered live. The Torque season kickoff in Charlotte on April 20th is going to be live on Speed Channel, and their event on 720 in Chicago is going to be live on Speed Channel. So live off-road racing, very cool news. I don't know if there's been any time in history when off-road has actually been covered live on cable TV. I know it's been live on the internet, but not on cable TV. So very cool. I'm excited about that. Live off-road racing on Speed Channel. Plus, the entire rest of the Torque series will be on Speed. Should be exciting to watch. I know their event in Crandon, which I wish they could get live. Maybe they will before Crandon rolls around. I know there's going to be a lot of Lucas Oil drivers heading back to Crandon because of the Lors date change. Should be very cool. Kind of be like a East versus West, or you know, a battle of Clash of the Titans type of thing at Crandon. So should be very cool. Very excited about the Torque series this year. Yeah, I know on a side note, both the Snyder sisters are They're not with the Lucas Oil Series anymore. They're going to be they signed with Traxxas, and they're going to be doing I think TV coverage for Torque. So Kelly and Taylor Nicole Snyder both going to be doing TV series for Torque and for Traxxas. So kind of interesting. You know, Lors signs Andrea Pathiakis and Aaron Bates, and Torque signs Kelly and Taylor Nicole Snyder. So kind of got a little bit of battle going on between Lucas Oil and Torque, and I love it. It's nothing but great for off-road to have that battle. So it's great seeing big companies throw their money around, don't you think, Trent?
Oh, I think so. Always excited to see the Short Course Series kick off, and I think the turnout this last weekend and down in Phoenix or whatnot at Firebird, and the kickoff in Charlotte will be huge. I'd love to see Kyle Busch out there at one of the short course events racing. I know he's teamed up with Mad Media, and I know he's tried his hand, I think, at Crandon last year and ran some lap times in a Pro 2 comparable to Rob McCracken, so I'd love to see him out there. Being in Charlotte, I don't know what the NASCAR series looks like or where they'll be located, but I know that seems to be the headquarters for a lot of teams, so maybe some of them will trickle out to the races and see what it's all about.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Kyle will probably try and hit up a few races this year, especially with his new sponsorship with Monster. So I think that opens the door wide open for him to do some off-road racing. Other big news and notes, HDRA Plaster City is this next coming up weekend. I've got a chance to look at the entry list for that. Kind of excited to see how this race goes. If any of you aren't familiar with Plaster City, it's basically El Centro, California, which is about an hour and a half jaunt from San Diego down the hill into the desert. Go from the nice beaches to kind of the desert wasteland. You know, Plaster City events, the McMillans are traditionally always there, and it should be interesting to see if they show up. They're not on the pre-entry list yet, but I'm sure they're going to have some vehicles racing at Plaster City. The entry list so far, open truck, there's, let me see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 trophy trucks or open trucks entered. Steve Eugenio, Barry Blue, Bill Belansky, Danny Gianni, Mitch Eggman, Ruben Ledesma and Brady Turner. Not familiar with a lot of these guys other than Steve Eugenio, so should be interesting to see what kind of trucks pop out. You know, there's plenty of trophy trucks out there, so you know, I'm sure we'll see what happens. Class 1, 3 entries. Big one here is Cam Theroux. He's signed up. He's got the Lucky Sperm Racing Team. His son Max is the Hollywood movie star. He's won a lot of score races in the past, so should be interesting to see. 1-2-1600, a ton of entries in 1-2-1600. Huge entry list. You know, just I could go down and name some of the big names, but big entry list in 1-2-1600. Class 5 Unlimited has 3 entries. Class 10's got 6 entries. 1 Class 11, a good 7 or 8 in Class 12. Class 1400. Just a huge turnout. I'm actually going to count these up for you just because it's such a big entry. 1, 2. Between, I think it looks like between, there's 15 as of now. I've heard as many as 20 in class 1400, but should be very cool turnout for class 1400, which is kind of like the Sportsman Pre-Runner class. Class 5, 1600, another good 10 entries there. I mean, class 7, all the classes have entries. Class 8 in heavy metal, they've got 5 and 3 apiece. Big turnout for class 9. And I lie there. Here's some more in class 1400. I said 15. It looks like there's 22 in class 1400. Class 2000's got another 6 entries. Wide Open Baja running their Rive and Drive program again. Got Cam Theroux racing in the Wide Open Baja car. They're running this event is a two race event, kind of like the Mint was. There's going to be race 1 in the morning, race 2 in the evening. My guess is Cam's going to race the Wide Open Baja class. Race 1 is a pre-run, and race 2 run the class 1 car. I don't know. Should be interesting to see how a major event goes over at Plaster City. Trent and I have raced there before, and Plaster City's Definitely an interesting beast. Very rough course, especially at night. I raced a night race there in blinding dust. It's going to be a unique event, and it should be interesting. My guess is, if I had to roll the dice, I would say there's probably a good chance that McMillan's will be there too. So, I don't know. You have anything else on Plaster City, Trent?
No, they always have a huge turnout at Plaster City. I think it's the stomping grounds for a lot of the San Diego or Southern California racers for testing and racing. They definitely know the lines down there, and definitely always seem to turn out. And even if it's for a limited class or a one-shot deal, driving for someone, but it seems to always turn out a lot of big name racers and always get a lot of support down there for the races held in Plaster City. Definitely fun, and I'm sure it'll be exciting next weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Another news, SCORE is actually helping sponsor a safety seminar at the Long Beach Grand Prix. Long Beach Grand Prix is 414. It's going to be it's put on by Stand 21 Safety Company. It's going to be called the Stand 21 Safety Seminar at the Long Beach Grand Prix. There's more information on SCORE's website. The seminar is going to be on April 14th. I think all SCORE racers are invited. I think there may be a sign-up form or something. Check it out on scoreinternational.com. But here, just a rundown of what's going to happen there. The seminar will discuss safety concerns and technological breakthroughs with a panel of renowned safety experts that have earned international recognition from their peers and within the world of motorsport. It's an important step towards a continued success and improved safety in international motorsport. A lot of organizations actually combining. It's interesting to see SCORE team up with the promoters of the Long Beach Grand Prix. I believe a lot of the road racing organizations are going to be there. I looked at the list of names of, I think they've got four guest speakers, and pretty big name guest speakers as far as motorsports go. Should be interesting for anybody, you know, in the LA area or going to the Long Beach Grand Prix. Might be something to check out while you're there. Like I said, the date on that is 4/14. You can get more information at scoreinternational.com. You know, if you're a racer or a crew chief or anybody looking to help make your race program safer, definitely check it out. Cool thing that SCORE's putting on, and I don't think there's any cost involved. I think it's just a matter of signing up. Other things happening, Ken Block, friend of the Down and Dirty Show, he recently traveled to Russia, and I actually talk once in a while with his communications manager. He's kind of become a friend of mine. And he said that they were in Russia doing a promotion for Pirelli tires. It was called the Pirelli Winter Attraction. Basically, they had the World Rally Championship car shipped over from Europe to a ski resort in Russia. And it kind of sounds bizarre, but you've got to see the videos. They're on Ken Block's website. I think they're on YouTube for sure. Very cool. They've got these rally cars at the ski resort in Russia, and they set up this course, and it's like this downhill ski run, and they've got these cars launching off ski jumps, and they've got these big, huge berms made out of snow, and, you know, they had these Pirelli, they had, you know, obviously Pirelli business people there. They had all kinds of worldwide, you know, news people and media people, and they were giving them rides, and the in-car cameras are just insane of these. You know, it was almost like a winter wonderland type of thing, you know, just throwing these rally cars around, you know, and it wasn't just Ken's car. It was a lot of, there was some other Pirelli World Rally Championship drivers there too, but very cool. Check out the videos on Ken's site as well as YouTube. Kind of exciting, fun, just a playground for rally cars. Looks like they just went out and had a cool time. Did you get a chance to check out any of those videos, Trent?
No, I haven't seen the videos yet, but I'm sure they'll be exciting. I know, I think Ken was joking around on Twitter or Instagram or something like that a few weeks back when he was in Russia. He got his passport stamped and said most countries just provide a small stamp or whatnot, and Russia took up the entire page of his passport. And so I know he was definitely having a good time in Russia when all this was going on. And I don't know, it'll definitely be exciting for me to check out here as soon as the show's over with. So I can report back next week and let you guys know what I think.
Yeah, I was talking to his communications manager, named Matt Tosillo, and Matt was telling me, I was like, well, did you run into Anna Kournikova's sister over there? And he's like, no. He's like, there were some lookers. He's like, the problem is all of them want to come home with you because they want to come to the States and get married so they can become U.S. citizens. He's like, I'm scared to death to even go and talk to one of them. He's like, I thought she might throw a ring on herself and decide she was my wife or something. So I don't know. It sounds like I think Ken has a good time wherever he goes, but it sounds like it was a pretty cool event over there. Also to note on the Ken Block side of things, anybody familiar with the Dirt video game series? It used to be Colin McRae's Dirt, and then when Colin passed, Ken kind of took the flagship name over on the series. But Dirt 2 and 3 were very cool video games. Ken's got a new one coming out called Dirt Showdown. It's going to be not really rally racing. It's going to be more of a rally cars, but kind of fun. Actually, kind of the Pirelli winter attraction side of things, just sliding them around, demolition derby, and there may be a little bit of racing and big jumps and stuff like that. But sometime Dirt Showdown comes out in the next 2 months, and you know, I think we're going to start doing some racing video game coverage on air whenever there's an off-road video game or a motocross game that comes out. So we'll definitely have some news on Dirt Showdown when it releases. Just a few other things. If you guys didn't tune in last week, we did a product spotlight, a very in-depth product spotlight in a company called Gunner Optics. They have some unbelievable eyewear that's a game changer for off-road and desert racing. Definitely go back and listen to our back episode from last week and hear about Gunner Optics and what they can provide to off-road racers. It's a very cool product. I'm still in touch with the company, and we're working on a few things. I hope to get them involved in desert racing. But definitely check them out and go to gunneroptics.com and check out their website and see what kind of what they can do for you. And you know, and all the hardcore technical specs. They also offer the glasses in prescription as well as 20/20 vision. So definitely a cool product to check out. Other cool news, Michael DeHaas, the owner of Casey Highlights, he's a friend of mine. We were talking the other day, and I think the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show is going to be hosting live from the Off-Road Expo this year. So I talked it over with Michael. He's got a big booth reserved for the Off-Road Expo, and I think we're going to have the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show airing live at least one day from the Off-Road Expo, possibly 2 days. So something to look forward to. I'm very excited about it. Off-Road Expo is always a good time. May have the number 15 there on display as well. So should be cool. Definitely a fun time. Also, you know, if there's somebody listening in that wants us to do SEMA, I'd be willing to travel and do the SEMA show live from somebody's booth. So definitely contact us if you're interested in having us air live from SEMA. So other upcoming events, we've got HDRA Plaster City. Obviously, there's a code race next weekend in Mexico. The Easter Jeep Safari is coming up. It's always a huge event for the rock crawling crowd, and like I said, we're going to cover a little bit of all motorsports. I think I need to contact Courtney from Poison Spider this week and see if she's going to come on and on air and give us a little info on the Easter Jeep Safari. I know the whole Poison Spider crew is going there. It's a huge event for the rock industry. Also, Formula Drift from Long Beach is coming up, and I don't know if any of you watch drifting. I'm a huge drifting fan. It's kind of like rally racing. You know, Reese Millen, who is an off-road and rally racer, you know, runs in Formula Drift. You know, it's just a very cool form of motorsport. So I think maybe we're going to start doing a little bit of Formula Drift coverage as well. So I guess just in one show today, we've added motocross, supercross, and Formula Drift. What do you think, Trent? We just keep adding things. We're going to have to expand to like a three-hour show or something pretty soon. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Always exciting to expand. Definitely, if there's interest, we're always open to it. Other thing I know coming up, I think In June, it is the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb, so I'm sure we'll be covering some of that the week that's going on. I know Reese Millen is now trying to dethrone Monster. He's put forth a pretty full-fledged effort to try and break the 10-minute barrier and dethrone Monster, so I'm sure we'll be covering some of that as well when that comes up in June.
We will definitely have in-depth coverage of Pikes Peak, everything that's going on, motorcycles, quads, UTVs, you know, the quest to break the, you know, to break Monster's record. We'll definitely have some huge Pikes Peak coverage. Trent's actually been to the event. I've been a fan of it for a long time. We're anything rally, we're kind of nerds about it, so we're definitely going to have coverage of Pikes Peak. So I don't know. I guess we're adding Formula Drift along to things. Von Gittin Jr., he's a Ford racer and good friends with BJ Baldwin and Ken Block and those guys. So I think we'll add that to the deal too. So something to look forward to, Motocross Supercross and Formula Drift here on the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Other than that, some of our upcoming interviews, I think we got some, I was just going to make an announcement. We got some pretty cool, interviews. I think we've got, Steve Strobel coming on, Joey D from UTVUnderground.com. We're going to have a UTV Super Show, when he comes on. Haven't had the official date on that yet, but we're going to do all things UTV that show. Obviously, you know, in addition to our regular stuff, we're going to have Chuck Dempsey, another two-wheeled, a two-wheeled guy on air broke his leg at the San Felipe 250, so Chuck's kind of down and out right now. But I think we're gonna have Chuck Dempsey on air. He's also very well seasoned, you know, on in four wheels, short course, and desert. We're gonna have a couple of short course superstars that I'm talking big name short course superstars coming up later on the show. A couple of interviews I've been working on and. I don't want to announce the names yet because if it doesn't work out, I don't want to have your guys' hopes up. But if I can get it put together, two huge names. We're going to have, I don't know, I'm just looking down the list. I think we're going to have Curtis and Klaus from RaceDesert.com one day on air. We're going to have Kelly and maybe Robbie Pierce from Mastercraft on air. Kevin Davis, he's been around off-road forever, and he's got a short course program he's about ready to launch. You know, I don't know, we've got... I'm just looking at this list of upcoming interviews, so it should be fun. It should be a fun time. I don't know. You got anything else to add before we close things up, Trent?
Nothing else to add. Definitely a jam-packed next couple of shows with the interviews that you just announced. Huge thanks to all our sponsors and everyone heading out to Plaster City this weekend and doing anything or all things off-road. As always, be safe and have fun. And that's all I really have.
Yep, and be sure to stay tuned to our Twitter accounts and Facebook and our website because, like I said, we've got a ton of interviews lined up, but I can't tell you which one's going to air next week. So I got to work on that this afternoon. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Speed Energy, the number one energy drink in the world. Just try it out. You'll understand why I'm calling it number one. It's not number one in sales, but it's climbing up the ladder pretty quick. So check it out, speedenergy.com, Intense Tees. The official clothing supplier, the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show, screen printing, embroidery, design work. Check them out on the web, intensetees.com. Parker Motor Company, Ford dealer in Parker, Arizona. Got Raptors in stock. They just got allocated a Shelby GT500. Call them if you're interested in anything special, anything you know, anything normal, anything out of the ordinary, it doesn't matter. They can get it all and check them out on the web at parkermotor.com, Blue Water Resort and Casino. Just had Cage Rage on the River, huge event, sold-out crowd for cage fighting at the Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check them out on the web at bluewaterfun.com. They've got a comedy night coming up sometime, I think, in about 2 weeks, so tickets are for sale on their website, and you'll be able to go to our website and click on the banner ad here sometime today and check out all the ticket info for their comedy night. And I also like to thank UPR.com. UPR, your source for off-road or any kind of racing, driving suits, helmets, safety equipment, pit supplies. Check them out on the web, UPR.com. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we will see you again next week. Take it easy.